Support for this podcast is made possible in part by our members. Become a member of WNTI by visiting our ePledge page at WNTI.org.
You're listening to Contours, WNTI's Issues and Arts program. Now your host, Melanie Teal.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Contours. Today on the show, Bill Nutt will be speaking to Ed Robertson, one of the original members of Bare Naked Ladies. We'll also hear about the United Way's new office in Hackettstown. Family Promise has a golf outing coming up. And Kevin Guyette is here with me to talk about an event that's happening today at Rutherford Hall to benefit not only WNTI, but the ARCS Project First Step. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the show. On Contours this morning, I have my very good friend, Kevin Guyette from the Arc of Warren. And she's here today because the two of us are going to be talking about an event happening today, this afternoon from 1 to 5 p.m. at Rutherford Hall in Alamuchi. It is called Music at the Hall, and it benefits Project First Step for the Arc. And a little bit of the money also comes back to WNTI. So, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Mel. Good to be here.
Yes, thank you. And we are going to have such a wonderful day later on today. I can't wait.
We are. It's one of the benefits of being able to play so well together after all these years, right?
Yes. So, Kevin, take us step by step through the event. The gates open at, what, 12:30-ish?
The gates will open, yeah, probably about a quarter to one. And we'll have parking attendants there just to make sure everybody finds a parking space along that long drive that leads into Rutherford Hall. And we should let people know, too, if they're not familiar with that location, they need to look for a small sign out on Route 517 that says Mountain Villa School. That's a really good landmark for anyone coming into the concert. And then we've got volunteers who will help people get in through the gate, and the music will start at 1. And we have some wonderful local musicians who all have donated their time and their talent to make this a success. So we're very, very happy to have them with us.
Yep, and we will talk about some of them in just a minute. I also want to mention that we have some wonderful food vendors that will be there, and we also have the beer and wine truck will
be
there.
We do.
So this is going to be a nice day. And as I said, all the proceeds benefit the ARCS Project First Step and WNTI. And tell us about Project First Step. Why is this so important?
Project First Step is a program of early intervention, and that provides service to infants and toddlers through age 3 who have either a developmental disability or a developmental delay. And that may just be caused by premature birth or low birth weight in those babies after a series of therapies that include physical, speech, occupational therapy, really just get on their way and they can catch up to other children their own age. Other children who may have a lifelong disability really get that boost to help them reach developmental milestones. And it helps prepare them for preschool handicap programs and just getting mainstreamed as much as possible. And I think one of the greatest benefits of Project First Step is it helps the families, particularly these young parents. They may not have had any kind of exposure to disabilities before. Helps them feel not so alone and so isolated, and helps them understand that there are other people out there dealing with this too. And it helps that family become as strong as possible. That's just, I think, one of the best benefits of Project First Step.
Right. And the earlier the intervention, the more successful the child ends up being.
You are absolutely correct. And from a taxpayer point of view, too, it's important to note, if you provide service to people with disabilities when they're very, very young, you're going to pay a lot less for services for adults who've never had any kind of a boost early on in physical or speech therapy, job training, and things like that. So best to invest at the very beginning. Better outcomes for everyone.
Absolutely. And let's talk about the music that we're going to have later on today.
The music is going to be great. We've got Steve Kerchak, who's well known here at WNTI and all over at CI Web, Computer Images Web, one of our sponsors. And he's joined by Michael Long from Chester's, also a very well-known local musician. We've got John Mayle of Cairo and Electric Gumbo, a very, very good friend of the ARCS. And Pentley Holmes, who's
yes.
a wonderful young man who actually works for us in a day program, which serves older adults who are really pretty seriously involved, who cannot get the benefits of outside employment. So we have employment services for them right within our offices in Washington. And Pentley's just one of the greatest young guys who's ever come to work for us. And he's also a very talented musician of rhythm and blues and just a wonderful voice.
In Rutherford Hall, I keep talking on air about the grounds and how beautiful it is and what a picturesque setting. And it really is. You have to, describing it doesn't do it justice. Just bring a lawn chair and come out this afternoon and be prepared to just have a very relaxing, beautiful day outside. And now, there was a wedding there yesterday, so there's a tent there today still?
There's a tent so people can come in and get out of the sun if they wish. And you can enjoy the lawn, or you can go down and sit by the lake and still enjoy the music. Mm-hmm. You just can't beat that location. It's so beautiful.
Yes, and it's only?
Tickets are $20 per person, and that's age 21 and older. We will be checking IDs before you get to the wine and beer truck.
Yes.
And it's nice, very family-friendly. We won't have children's activities, but there's long, sweeping lawn where little kids can just kind of wander around and dance to the music and have a good old time for themselves, too.
Yeah, and this all takes place later on today from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. on the grounds of Rutherford Hall in Alamuchi, right off of Route 517. You can't miss it. If you're coming from Hackettstown and you get to the entrance for Route 80, you went a little bit too far.
Not much, though.
Not much.
It's right there.
Yeah. And if you're coming from 80, just get off 80 and turn left, and there you are.
Yep, just on the other side of the overpass.
And we want to also thank Kennedy Event Services for their help in this endeavor. And, of course, all the musicians that are going to be donating their time today. And we are hoping for this to be a very successful event and make it an annual event.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Mm. I'd love working together with you.
We it says that on our report card, works well with others, meaning the two of us. Yeah. Kevin, thank you so much, and we will see you at Rutherford Hall later on today.
You surely will. See you then.
WNTI and Kennedy Event Services are bringing live music to Knowlton as we present WNTI Stage August 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Knowlton Lions Club Pavilion on Route 46 in Delaware, New Jersey. A weekend of food, fun, and two stages of nonstop music under the big tent. Beer and wine concessions sponsored by the Knowlton Lions Club and free Wi-Fi by CenturyLink. The fest begins on Friday night with WNTI favorite the Grand Slambovians with opening act Billy Hector at the Cafe Stage. Other acts for the weekend include Marshall Crenshaw, the Devil Nellies, John Ginty and Todd Wolf, as well as many local favorites. So please join us for 3 days of summer fun August 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Knowlton Lions Club Pavilion on Route 46 in Delaware, New Jersey. No pets and no coolers, please. Free parking. Schedules, tickets, and information available online at wntistage.org.
Joining me in the studios on Contours this morning is returning guest and dear friend of mine, Sarah Brelvey. She's the Chief Professional Officer of the United Way for Northern New Jersey. And we have two exciting happenings with the United Way that we're going to talk about today. First of all, the United Way office, the Warren County office, is moving from Washington Borough to Hackettstown. So we're going to talk about that. And then we'll talk about why that's so important leading into Success by Six, which will definitely get springboarded a lot more now that the United Way office is in Hackettstown. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you very much, Mel. How's your summer going?
Oh, fantastic. Fun-filled and jam-packed, just the way I like it.
Good.
So
I'm looking forward to WNTI Stage.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's going to be a fantastic weekend, and thanks for asking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sarah, the new office of the United Way, the Warren County branch of United Way, is going to be on Washington Street in Hackettstown. Tell us all about this exciting new move.
Yes, we're going to be at 699 Washington Street, and people ask me where that is on Washington Street. So that's where Washington and Warren Street meet, and people may be aware that there's a brick professional building right on the corner. So that's where we have decided to move. We're actually in the office now, and we have an open house that we'd like to invite the public to on July 29th from 4 to 5:30 in the afternoon. We'll have light refreshments, and the ribbon cutting will be about 4:30. Now, so why did we move? Why did we relocate our office? That's the big question. 8 years ago, Mel, we started out in Belvedere.
I remember.
And we started to outgrow that space in Belvedere and realized that we needed to go into an area that had some more activity. So we moved our Washington office 6 years ago. We moved to that office on Washington Borough, and that has worked out very well. Well, because of our merger with to Northern New Jersey, United Way of Northern New Jersey, we really need more office space. And so that's why we've moved out of Washington and started to look for greater office space. Then when we started looking at the demographics, the activities, where we could make a greater presence in the Warren County area at this time was Hackettstown. I refer to Hackettstown as the metropolis of Warren County. I know that we have other towns that are equally as important. Hackettstown really has a lot of opportunities in the community. One of the opportunities is our free tax preparation program. And in order for us to be able to really accommodate more people to have their taxes prepared during the tax season, we needed more room. We were in a very small office. We couldn't open up our office to the clients and then at the same time keep our business running.
So this Hackettstown location will be a larger space than the one in Washington Borough was?
Yes, it will be a larger space. Terrific. We'll have a conference room again, those types of things.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You can't run an organization without a conference room. I'm convinced of that.
Correct.
So this is all happening. Again, the open house will be on Tuesday, July 29th from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m., 699 Washington Street, Suite 102 in downtown Hackettstown. And then this leads me into the question of, and you had touched on it, things that will be bigger and better for the United Way now that you're in Hackettstown, such as the tax preparation that you offer. And you also participate in Project Homeless Connect, which one of the locations is here in Hackettstown. So that's an important service that the United Way offers. I know there'd be a lot more foot traffic here in Hackettstown as well, as opposed to the other places.
Yes. And Hackettstown, like Washington, is a walking town.
Yeah.
So we do have the availability of people literally coming right off of Main Street, Route 46, to say, all right, I'm going to come in, I'm going to have an appointment, et cetera. So people don't have to get in their car and drive. Some of the locations we were looking at were lovely office space, but you had to have a vehicle. And as we know, transportation is at a premium, public transportation here. And we didn't want to put people in a situation where they weren't able to easily access our office. Mm-hmm. And come visit us. I mean, let's lighten up. Let's have a great time. Pop in anytime.
Exactly. It's nice to see all the offices that are popping up in Hackettstown in the Main Street area. The Small Business Development Center is on Main Street. The Hackettstown Business Improvement District is right on Main Street. Trinity has their thrift store right on Main Street. There's a lot of
Centenary College.
Centenary College has their office on Main Street as well, their satellite office. So it impacts the community in a positive way when you have all these different services and organizations that are right there, easily accessible to everyone. So now let's talk about Success by Six, because this is one of the programs that United Way funds, and it's a very neat program for helping children that are, just what it says, Success by Six.
Yes, Success by Six is a early childhood education program. We want to be sure that all the children are made available so they can have affordable and accessible childcare. In order to do that, we need to build those programs in Warren County and collaborate with the existing child care centers, which we are doing now, and we need to grow it. In the full state of New Jersey, the least amount of licensed child care centers, the county, is none other but Warren County. Again, the benefit of the merger with Northern New Jersey was we're able to use the resources throughout Northern New Jersey to be able to create these programs and partner within our community. So we're having a actual kickoff, and that is going to be on Thursday, July 24th from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And that's at Warren County Technical School, right on Route 57 in Washington. So we talk about the fact that children need to have a high quality early education. It helps them, obviously, to be prepared to enter kindergarten in their reading and their math skills. They graduate from their, when you look at the long-term graduation rate, it's high school, college, that type of thing. I don't know if you're aware, because I know that the Teal sisters are not at the preschool age any longer.
No, but they did attend a very good preschool.
And well, now it would cost for one child $11,000 a year for one child to to a preschool program. Yes.
And that's most, the tuition. Most preschool programs are not every day, or if they are every day, they're only half a day.
Correct. Correct.
Wow.
Well, I worked full time when my children were in that age. And in fact, my son was at here at Centenary College's preschool. And I know that it was always a financial commitment for us. It's a financial burden for many families, because the Alice family, asset limited, income constrained, and these are the people that are working, they can't afford a lot of basic necessities of life. So when you look at the cost, the high cost of childcare, and you have two parents that are working 2 to 3 jobs, and $11,000 a year per child. So we are looking to be able to partner, and we are doing that with Norwest Cap Head Start. We have scholarships, child care vouchers that we are partnering with them on, and be able to bring and build this program. So this kickoff that we have, we're inviting the public, and especially people in the early childhood education arena, to come and join us, to become a member of our committee. And that's going to take place on July 24th at Warren County Technical School. If you want more information on that, please call Kathy at 973-579-3040.
Great. And for general information about United Way, how can they contact you?
The same phone number, 908-835-3550, or visit our website, unitedwaynnj.org.
Great. Thank you, Sarah Brelvey. We look forward to seeing the spiffy new location.
Yes.
We'll bring a fruit basket or something for a housewarming. No.
Oh, that's fun. people bring themselves. I have some light refreshments ordered. I just can't wait to greet everybody and welcome everyone into our new office and the community.
On Tuesday, July 29th, from 4 p.m. until 5:30 p.m., the new home of the Warren County location of United Way is at 699 Washington Street, Suite 102, right here in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Thank you, Sarah Brelvey, Chief Professional Officer, for coming in and telling us all about the new exciting stuff going on with United Way.
Thank you. Have a great summer, everybody.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
WNTI needs your help. Doing what, you ask? Well, directing cars into the parking areas at WNTI Stage, August 15th, 16th, and 17th. We give you all the tools you need, and you get to be the ambassador to the festival. The first impression. Welcome the music lovers to WNTI Stage with a smile. 2 hours of volunteering gets you the rest of the day in the festival for free. Recruit a friend or family member and become a parking team. Contact Melanie Teal for more information. Hey, that's me. And sign up for our WNTI Street Team, T-H-I-E-L-M, at centenarycollege.edu or 908-979-4355. WNTI Stage 2014, where great live music lives. In the studios of WNTI with me on Contours this morning, I have two guests that are here from Family Promise, Building Communities and Strengthening Lives, Family Promise of Warren County. And I've interviewed folks from Family Promise on WNTI in the past. And we're here to talk about a couple things with Family Promise today. They have a golf outing coming up at Hawk Point, and that is on Monday, August 11th. Plus, we just want to hear about Family Promise in general and what it does for the community and families that may need some help once in a while. So welcome to Contours. Please introduce yourselves and to the WNTI listening audience, because I'm not exactly sure what your titles are, so I'll let you do it yourself.
I'm Valerie Anderson. I'm the board president of the Board of Trustees.
I'm Bob Frankenfield. I'm the executive director of the program.
And Bob, you've been here before.
Yes.
Yes, many
welcome
times.
Back.
Yes, welcome back.
We're glad to be back.
Now, Family Promise is an organization in Warren County that has not been around for as long as some of the other not-for-profits in the area. So would one of the two of you like to give a little background on Family Promise?
Val's looking at me, so I guess that's me.
Well, Bob, take it away.
Well, we've been in operation. Actually, we just reached our six-year anniversary, July 6th, Val, of 2008. We started hosting our first homeless family. And since that time, we have assisted, I believe it's now up to 64 families, Warren County families. And we've also expanded some programming, and we've helped over 200 families with homeless prevention and rapid rehousing services. So we are really becoming a established and viable agency in Warren County. It's the first time in Warren County that there's ever been a shelter facility for homeless families, besides the domestic violence shelter, of course.
Right.
But they're obviously their population is domestic violence. So we are a 501c3 private nonprofit agency. The churches are our backbone. They provide the volunteers because the families are hosted at the churches in the evenings. That's where they sleep, in the evenings at the churches. We have a network of about 14 host churches, and I believe it's 16 support churches now. So what they provide is huge. And then the guests come to the day center during the day. That's their address of record while they're in the program. And it's been quite the adventure, you know, to start this nonprofit. And we've come a long way. And we're using a model that has been replicated successfully 182 times. So it's not like we came up with this whole model of Family Promise and the Interfaith Hospitality Network. It's a model that have been able to use from the national office, which is in Summit, New Jersey. It's been a great program, and it's so much better than housing, or maybe I should say warehousing, families in hotels and motels, which is what was done in the past when we didn't have Family Promise.
What I like about Family Promise is it has more of a home feel for the families that need to use the services. And the children involved do get to stay in their own school district.
They do. Actually,
that, I think, is a big plus and very important to the stability of the child.
Yeah, the McKinney-Vento Act, there's some strict federal laws that a homeless child can't be denied an education. And if that child or if that parent wants to keep that child in the former school district, they can certainly do that, yeah.
So tell me about the golf outing.
Sure. It's a great event. It's our second annual. It's held on August 11th. It's at Hawk Point Golf Club, which is an absolute beautiful venue. It's a private course, so this is an opportunity for the public to come and play. It's $125, and you get lunch and dinner. There's hole-in-one prizes. There's a 50-50. And there's other hole prizes, too, but my husband begged me to become a member after he played last year. So it's a really beautiful course.
And how much money do you anticipate raising from this event to help Family Promise?
Our hope this year is at least $6,000.
And that money will go towards helping the families that are in the shelter churches?
It'll go towards providing the services at the day center, maintaining the day center, their supplies there. The day center is actually a home. There's a few offices that are taken up on the main floor, but there's, you know, living rooms, bedrooms, kitchens. So we always need supplies, paper towels, laundry detergent, all that good stuff to keep that going.
Now, that brings up another question that comes to my mind. Things like paper towels, toilet paper, cleaning supplies for the day center. I would think those are things you need to purchase all year long.
Constantly.
If someone wanted to make a donation to that effect, you know, if someone's going grocery shopping, they have a coupon, the buy one, get one free sale,
right,
love those.
Right.
Could they donate to Family Promise any time of the year?
Absolutely.
Yes. Those consumables, as I refer to them as, we're always in need of items like cleaning products. Right now, actually, we're low on laundry detergent, paper towels. And but we're going to put a new wish list up on our website. So, yes, we're definitely in need of supplies right now.
And the information about how to get in touch with Family Promise for any reason is?
The website is wcfamilypromise.org, and our phone number is 908-453-2194.
And again, the golf outing for Family Promise is on August 11th. It's a Monday at Hawk Point Golf Club, which is in Washington, New Jersey, right on Route 31. And you are also going to be doing some fun things this summer, like being at WNTI stage with an informational booth so people can stop by and find out how they can help out Family Promise there.
Go ahead, Val.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I love the festival. I'm excited to be able to spend a whole weekend there.
Yep. It's a lot of foot traffic. You'll have a lot of foot traffic at your table. Yeah. And we're very happy to be able to help the not-for-profit organizations in the area. We kind of had to do it on a first-come, first-served basis because we only had a limited amount of vendor spaces. So we designated several of the vendor spaces for the not-for-profits in the area because we want to keep with the tradition of WNTI Stage being a community event and helping everyone.
Well,
so
we very much appreciate the invitation. And that actually has been one of our struggles, is getting the word out about who we are and what we've been doing. Because being such a small agency and being a relatively new agency in the overall scheme of things, I mean, some agencies have been around since Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty in 65. We've been around since 2008. So we do need to get the word out about who we are and what we've been doing and the fact that we're housing families with children. And again, last year, 57% of the children in our program were age 5 or under. So that's who we're helping.
I think an important thing, too, is that people don't realize homelessness is virtually invisible in Warren County. So many people that even being starting our 6th year now, somebody finding out about Family Promise for the first time is questioning, you know, where are the homeless? And also, too, I think another struggle is the perception of homelessness. It really it doesn't portray a victim, and there are victims. It could be circumstances that put people into this. We have a family. He's a veteran, yes. And he lost his job, and he's got, you know, a 4-year-old child, one on the way, and it's hard to sustain, and circumstances just put them on that slippery slope, and they find themselves without a place to go. And if they don't have family support, it's even hard for them to get back to family if they didn't originate from the state of New Jersey in Warren County. It's a very difficult situation, and it's not your typical what you see. You're not going to see in Hackettstown the people in the storefronts.
Val brings up a really good point, too. There's so much – and that's why it's so hard to sometimes fundraise for our agency. There's so much blame associated with homelessness compared to – I hate to use this analogy, but I sometimes think that homeless animals – and I'm an animal lover – homeless animal shelters actually do better fundraising than homeless shelters for families because of that blame that's associated with becoming homeless.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people think – well, how could you lose your home? You should have seen this coming. You knew you were losing your job. Yeah. Why didn't you have the... Yep. Well, circumstances the way they are, and if you can't find another job, or say you did find another job, you could have taken a huge pay cut and not be able to pay the mortgage. You know, you have to make choices. Is it pay the mortgage or buy groceries? Or is it pay the car payment or buy groceries? You know, those are tough choices that a family of 2 or 4 or 6 have to make. And they're not easy choices.
And not even just taking a pay cut, even perhaps losing their medical benefits. And just one, you have a child who becomes ill or you yourself become ill and have one medical bill, that could take your rent payment for the month very easily.
That could take your rent payment for years.
Depending on the severity, right.
Like, there's been stories where folks have actually had to remortgage their home just to provide for the health benefits for their children. And then it can be a downward spiral real quick.
Yeah. Right. If you were just making ends meet, making one mortgage payment, how do you make two?
Right.
And also, too, a lot of with the mortgages and all of the foreclosures, a lot of it's occurring to renters. The landlords are being foreclosed on. It's not even the renter's fault.
That's right.
It's circumstances like that that propel these families into homelessness. And, you know, you can't attach blame to that. You just can't.
And Mel, one of our biggest beliefs is that we believe no child should experience homelessness.
I agree.
And
having two children of my own, you know, I can see that.
1 in 5 American children will experience homelessness in their lifetime. They're the fastest growing group of homeless, believe it or not.
1 in 5.
Right.
Amazing. Well, again, Bob, Valerie, thank you so much for coming up to WNTI and talking to us today. We look forward to having you at WNTI Stage on August 15th, 16th, and 17th. And whatever surprises you bring, bring them on.
Okay.
Mel, thanks. As always, thanks for your support and for WNTI's support of us. We very much appreciate that.
You're absolutely welcome. And Bob, give the website again one more time and phone number and all that for Family Promise.
The website is wcfamilypromise.org. Our phone number is 908-453-2194. And I'd like to extend an invitation for anyone who would like to come and see our day center to please give us a call, and we could arrange a tour.
Great. Well, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Mel.
Thank you.
It's a little bit of a shock to realize that it's been 22 years since the album Gordon introduced most Americans to the offbeat melodies and quirky lyrics of Bare Naked Ladies. In the years since then, the band has amassed a considerable body of work, and I'm happy to say that that work continues on with their latest CD, Grinning Streak. They're going to be coming to the Mayo Performing Arts Center in Morristown on Tuesday, July 22nd. On the other end of the line is co-founder of the band, Ed Robertson. Ed, it's a pleasure for me to say welcome to the WNTI airwaves.
Well, thanks, Bill. Nice to be on here with you.
Let me start with kind of the obvious. You're touring behind Grinning Streak. How is this CD like your previous work, and how is it different?
Well, that's interesting. I think it's like our previous work in that the band has always allowed itself to be adventurous and to kind of stretch out and go in interesting directions. And I think we certainly continued that with this record. How is it unlike our other records? It was a lot less stressful to make than all of our other records. I think we had the most fun making this record that we have ever had. So I think that's one way it's unlike the other records.
What do you attribute that to? After 22 years, you really know how to work together? Is that the...
Well, you wouldn't think it would take that long. I think when we made the last record, All in Good Time, that was an extremely daunting process. It was our first record as a four-piece. We were really kind of trying to figure out what the band was and how to approach it. And, I think we really kind of overthought and stressed out about the whole process. And having made that record and the subsequent touring we did on that record, I think we gained all kinds of confidence. And so going in to make this record, we just thought, okay, we don't have anything to prove anymore. We're still here. We're still doing it. We're still good at it. So let's just enjoy it.
I mentioned quirky lyrics, and forgive me if you get hit with those adjectives all the time, quirky, idiosyncratic. Do you find it's been a problem that sometimes people think of you as, oh, they're that funny band, or, oh, they're almost like a comedy act? Is that something you've had to overcome?
Well, I think humor is intrinsic to the way we relate to each other and the way we relate to an audience. But we've always taken songwriting very seriously, even if it's a funny song. I think it's an important element of the band that distinguishes us from so many other acts. And I think, yes, over the years, it has confused people and it has labeled us as comedy or novelty or whatever other kind of throwaway term you might tag onto a band. But ultimately, I don't blame people because nobody has enough time in their day to go, oh, that thing, I'm not really into that, but I'll check out all the rest of their work and give them a fair shake. I think anyone who sees the band live gets it immediately because we take entertaining very seriously. We take playing live very seriously. Everybody sings in the band. It's a bunch of very confident and competent performers, but then we also just have a ton of fun with it. There's lots of improv, there's lots of spontaneity. And for me, I just can't imagine getting up and playing the same dour songs every night and being uber serious all the time, and it would just drive me insane. Well, I love going out on tour.
Well, that's always been your hallmark, right? From the beginning, you would throw in these improvised bits, the interaction among the band members. No two shows are alike.
Yeah, and that, to me, is the whole show. Like, I know we're gonna play Pinch Me in 1 week, and If I Had $1 Million, mm-hmm. we're going to play all those songs, and I know they're going to be great, and I know the crowd's going to love them. I don't even think about that element of the show. For me, the whole show is about the moments of improv and spontaneity and those magical things that happen in one place and never happen again. That, to me, that's the whole night.
We're talking with Ed Robertson of Bare Naked Ladies. What was the first song that you remember writing, saying, okay, this song establishes Bare Naked Ladies' identity? This is who we are as a band.
I don't think I really felt that until I wrote Pinch Me.
Really?
I think, yeah, it was a long way into the career that I could finally relax and say, okay, this is me. This isn't overthought. It's not self-conscious. It's just, this is what I'm like. And that's the first time I felt utterly relaxed and confident about a song.
Well, if you don't mind my doing this, Ed, there are a couple of songs. There are so many songs that I want to ask about, but three kind of leap to mind. And please forgive me if they're ones that you're tired of talking about. The first one is, I have to ask, how surreal was it when you heard that Brian Wilson was performing Brian Wilson?
Well, that was an incredibly surreal moment. And in fact, the way we found out about it was we were working on our record Maroon in L.A. with Don Was. And mm-hmm. Don said, a friend of mine wants to stop by the studio today and play something for you guys. And it was Brian Wilson. Don had worked with Brian producing one of his records. Brian dropped by and played us his version of our song, Brian Wilson.
Wow.
And it was so bizarre, and surreal is the only word for it. And I'll never forget, there was this silence after it finished, and then he looked up at us and just said, is it cool? And I said, is it cool? It's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Wow, and he took. There was no sense of him taking offense at anything, or
no, not at all. I mean, I think he just thought the harmonies were cool, and it's quite a sympathetic song, really.
Right.
And right. I think it really resonated with him. It was very cool of him to do that.
The second obvious song is 1 Week. The song that really has established you in a lot of people's minds, even people who weren't aware of you before. When you were writing that song, did you realize that it was going to become something special?
Absolutely not. That song was actually an improvisation. I wrote the choruses, and I had those done, and I was kind of laboring over the verses, and I couldn't come up with anything I liked, And Steve said, well, why don't you just freestyle something? Like, you do that every night, and it's better than all this stuff you're trying to compose. It's better than this rap you're trying to write. And so I literally just hit record on a video camera that I had in my basement, and I freestyled the entire lyrics. It took me, like, 2.5 minutes to write.
Yeah, but then how long did it take to transcribe those lyrics?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. But I assumed when we recorded that it would be a B-side to the record. In fact, when our A&R person from the label called and said they wanted to use it as the lead single, I thought she was joking. I thought she was making fun of my silly song.
What do you attribute to the fact that it not only was a release as a single, it was a hit? I mean, it was a hit with a capital H. Why? Why do
yeah.
you think that song...
Who knows? You know, if I knew, then I would have had 10 cents. It's timing. It's, you know, the band had really worked hard touring, and I think it was in part that so many fans of the band had to say to people, oh, you got to see them live to get it. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd heard Old Apartment on the radio, or they'd heard If I Had $1 Million, and they couldn't really make sense of the band, and people would say, well, you got to see them live. And I think 1 week was the first indication of what we were actually like live, full of energy, hip-hop influence, right. Lots of spontaneity, and there it was in a bottle. Right. It was an improvised rap. It was energetic. It was silly. It was like a page from the live show.
Mm-hmm. And the final song I have to ask about, and I imagine you think of this as the gift that keeps on giving. I don't think a day goes by when The Big Bang Theory isn't shown, 30, 40 times, at least on certain American cable stations. How did that come about?
Well, that's been... We were incredibly fortunate to get involved in that show. It came about by the most excellent little bit of serendipity. I'm a total science geek, and I read a lot of math and science books, and I'm really interested in that stuff. And I had just finished a book called Big Bang by Simon Singh. I think the subtitle is Everything You Need to Know About Mankind's Most Important Discovery. And it's essentially a layman's explanation of every single mathematical and scientific step required to understand cosmological theory.
Wow.
You know, it literally starts at Eratosthenes determining the circumference of the Earth and works its way up to redshifting galaxies and explains every single step in between, all the while actually being really entertaining and interesting. It's not a dry book at all. Simon Singh's a great writer. He also did Fermat's Enigma, Fermat's Last Theorem, it got retitled to. Great writer. So we were playing in Los Angeles, and I had just finished the book, and so I did some improv on stage about standing on the shoulders of giants and Hubble and elliptical orbits and, you know, just this like a silly, esoteric, geeky science rap. And Chuck Lorre and Bill Prady just happened to be in the crowd. They were already fans of the band. And they came backstage and said, you're never going to believe this, but we're actually developing a show called Big Bang Theory, and you have to write the theme song.
Wow. Talking with Ed Robertson. Ed, I don't want to turn this into a behind the music thing. You did allude earlier the fact that you lost your co-founder, Stephen Page. And without going into details, what has his departure kind of forced the band to do? What are you doing now that maybe you weren't able to do before?
It's a difficult question to answer because I don't think it's forced us into anything, quite the opposite. It's kind of allowed us to reflect and be more open to the entire process. I think quite the opposite from forcing us to do a certain thing, it's really breathed some space and fresh air into the band.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's allowed all of us to kind of re-examine what we love about this and what's important to us. And it's allowed us all to just kind of relax into it.
We've been talking with Ed Robertson of Bare Naked Ladies. To remind you, Bare Naked Ladies are going to be playing the Mayo Performing Arts Center on the 22nd of July. For more information, go to mayoarts.org. Their new CD, latest CD, is Grinning Streak. One last question, Ed, if you don't mind. As I said, it's been 22 years since Gordon was released. It's more than 25 years since the first Bare Naked Ladies gig. Are you now doing what you had hoped you would be doing when the band started?
I could never have imagined doing this 25 years later when the band started. I think I thought, wow, this is crazy fun, and it's going to last for a couple of years, and then I'm going to have to get a real job. The fact that we experienced experienced the kind of success that we have and that we've been able to maintain this career. And not only that, but enjoy it. I think I'm having more fun these last couple of years than I have in over a decade. And that's an incredible way to feel 25 years into a band. Mm-hmm. And not just a band, a career. Like, this is my job, and I'm really fortunate that I love my job. There's no way I could have imagined the ride that we've had and the way that I feel about it now. I think we're all in a really great place in that I think we're all more invested and care more about what we do musically and care less than ever about what people think about it, which is kind of the perfect place for a band to be in.
Again, Bare Naked Ladies, Mayo Performing Arts Center, July 22nd. For more information, mayoarts.org. Ed, thank you very much for your time. I know things are really busy right now, but thank you for your time. And more importantly, thank you so much for making me and many other people smile over the past 22 yep. years.
Well, thank you. It's been nice talking to you.
For Contours and for WNTI, this has been Bill Nutt.
That's it for this week's edition of Contours, your weekly roundup of what's happening in the WNTI listening area and the surrounding communities. Thanks to everyone who made today's show possible. Contours is a production of WNTI and can be heard Sundays at 9 a.m. with a rebroadcast on the website WNTI.org. If you have a topic you'd like to hear discussed on a future edition of Contours or a comment on today's show, just send me an email, tlm@centenarycollege.edu.